Caution, learning in progress.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another spring update episode of Smarter Every Season. With you again is Nate Burnham. I'm going to be helping host this, and with me, as always, Hans Sutzman. Hans, thank you.
Morning, Nate. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Things are a little crazy upstairs.
It is crazy. It's a little wet right here in central Illinois, but otherwise I know a lot of the northern parts of the state are getting a chance to go. I know there's most places seem like we got something to go. I know there's still some pockets. I think Indiana struggled to get good enough weather to really go yet.
Yeah, so. And I think we heard kind of late yesterday that central Canada has entered the chat as far as...
They are going.
They're starting to kick off, so it's good. We're seeing a lot of acres get put in the ground. That's exciting.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, hey, let's jump right into it. We're going to go ahead and just go through some overview or like broad topics here. Yep. This applies to all systems. we're getting a lot of calls around, or I guess I shouldn't say a lot of calls, but this is the time of the year for the call. Hans, my compressor is running all the time, or my compressor will not run. What are some of the things we're going to check first? Let's start with my compressor runs all the time.
Yeah, so if you're getting a compressor that's running all the time, that generally comes to two root causes. One is a failed compressor. The compressor just can't build air, like it's just not producing air. But more commonly what we run into on that one, the more prevalent one is I have an air leak somewhere on the system. So whether that's a airline that came loose or an airbag or a cylinder or something that's leaking, that's generally what you'll start to see is that compressor just continuously run, trying to keep up. It can't keep up with the compressor, with the leak that's on there. If you have a system that's always venting, that also will produce that similar scenario. If you run into that where you have a compressor that's always running, one of our first things is, okay, cap the line off of it and let the compressor build to tank pressure. Can it build and fill the tank, and then can it hold that pressure for a period of time? If it's just a tank, you should at least get 10 to 15 minutes out of it.
Yeah, and we're talking about that supply line.
The supply line. Cap the supply line out of the compressor to whatever device system that you're running, whether that's Clean Sweep, Air Force, Furrow Force, Reveal, whatever it is. Cap that line, build just the tank pressure, and see if you can get that to run. The compressor, so the flip side of that then is what compressor kicks on and off. And that's all driven off of the pressure switch. If your compressor is running all the time and you blow the valve, there's a relief valve in the compressor and it pops off about 165, 170, and it'll blow that relief valve. If that opens up, if it runs until that happens, that means that the pressure switch isn't shutting the compressor off.
Gotcha.
So
how do we check that out?
So a good way to check in the compressor, the pressure switch itself, it is a closed and open circuit is what it's doing with the pressure switch. When it gets below 130, when tank pressure drops below 130 PSI, the switch closes, connects the voltage through the system, and sends 12 volts to the relay to keep the compressor on. And then it'll run until it hits above 150, around 150 PSI. At that point, the pressure switch opens, cuts power to the relay, compressor shuts off. And so if you want to check a system out, you can grab your voltmeter. You can probe the back of the outbound side of the pressure switch and see if it's getting 12 volts through it or not. And it should basically, when it drops below 130, it kicks on, holds it all the way up till it gets 150. 150, it opens, sits there until the tank pressure drops below 130 again, closes, kicks the compressor back on again, and runs back up up to 150. So that's an easy way to kind of to check. I've seen several of those pressure sensors go bad. That's not uncommon to run across where the compressor will go, the pressure switch will go bad.
Okay. Awesome. We're going to keep rolling in. And GPS resources. So I'm hoping that, you know, most guys have kind of gotten out at least a little bit. Yep. And I've seen a kind of a decrease, it feels like, in some of those GPS calls that I've taken at least.
Yep.
But it's still something that we get calls on, seems like, year round.
Yep.
So GPS resources, what do you want to talk about there?
There's, you know, we have our list of the one documents out there. If you're setting the system up, go look at the ones that we've built. There's most of the ones we're going to cross drawn there. There are some abnormalities of ones that we haven't seen yet that we don't have documentation for. Call out on that is if you run across one that we don't have documentation for, we don't have a rule of thumb for it, if you can do the legwork and find one, normally your best friend is the guy that sold the system. the GPS system to begin with. Reach out to them. If you can get documentation on what it takes to get that system up and running and outputting NEMA strings to us, then I would say please document that somewhere and send it in a ticket to us so that we can update our documentation on our side. But a good rule of thumb, we're a listen only. We need those three NEMA strings at 5 hertz. You can change the baud rate. Any of the three, 19.2, 38.4, or 115.2 are acceptable baud rates. If two of them don't work and you're forced to go to 115 or whatever it is, that's perfectly fine. 115 is a normal baud rate to use.
Awesome. And yeah, our GPS lead, and I'm not going to name him, would love to create some of those new documents.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm sure there's great time in June to do on that. All right. Just a call out on that then, one more thing on GPS is just remember that some GPS systems will output locations other than the globe. I know we mentioned this in one of last year's podcasts, but it's worthwhile noting that the GPS offset check is a good rule of thumb to verify that we did measure everything correctly and we understand what that system is outputting. If it outputs, a lot of times you can get a GPS system to output the location of the rear axle, even the planar bar, they can be configured to output the location of the bar itself. And so that's a good thing to double check with a GPS offset check is to make sure that what we measure to is what's actually getting sent over to the 2020.
Awesome. Okay. So it is also the time of year, depending on where you're at, to start changing crops or doing setups on specialty crops.
Yep.
Right. So like, or seed corn. So take me through some of your thoughts on that. I know you have a lot of experience walking guys through that. What are some of the things that you like to see done?
Yeah, so good rule of thumb is don't ever remove rows from the equipment profile. So when you set up a 31-row planter, even if you're planning on 16 of those or you're planning on some different number of rows, don't remove the rows from the equipment profile. Those are set to be there. You can change the active rows in the equipment profile. Normally what we tell guys to do is this is best done if you go to the crops page, make all your changes in your crops page is where that is best done. That'll store those active rows. That'll store the effective control spacing. If you're doing something where you're changing row spacing around and you're controlling to an odd number of rows, whether that's strip row or skip row cotton, pumpkins or something where you're turning every other row off or every two rows off or whatever sequence you've got set up, do that in the crops page is the best place to do that. Seed corn guys, if you're planting only the females and you're going to come back and plant males, set that up in the crops tab. Maybe make a crop of male row corn, make a crop of female corn, make a crop of seed corn rather than just corn. And each one of those you can configure to have the correct active rows, the correct seeds per disc, and the correct default population for those. So that's a good rule of thumb. Do that in your crops tab, not in your equipment profile.
Okay. Very good. And yeah, we've been coaching that for years, but it's always a good call out.
It's always a good call out. It's that time of year we start to make that crop change. Go into your crops, select the other crop, make sure your seeds per disc is correct, make sure your seeds to average is correct, and then make sure your active rows is correct.
Absolutely. All right, anything else you want to mention on just kind of our general Dotto Gen 2 type systems?
I think that's all I've got on this one.
All right, so let's go ahead, and we got a couple notes for Dot 1. The first thing that we're going to mention, and I'm going to go ahead and just call this out, if you're on Dot 1, and I know we hammered on it in training, and we've talked about it in previous episodes, but keep up to date on the Dot 1 updates. I know sometimes it's a pain to stop and do the update, but they are making changes, trying to improve the functionality of Dot 1. Please keep up to date on that. And then if we're seeing issues with the latest releases, please let us know because we want to get it fixed.
Yep.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump right back into specialty crops. So Dot 1 is a little different animal.
It's a totally different setup. So when you go to Dot 1, if you're on Dot 1, this is a very big departure from previous years. Your crop is changed at the field level. And that is a documentation purpose only. That doesn't physically change the configuration as far as active rows or seeds per disc. It will update your alerts settings, so your seeds to average. Currently, though, if you change crops, all of the crops are defaulted. So if you change from corn to soybeans, the default will be still a corn set configuration. as far as your seeds to average and your quick adjust population, singulation details, all of those alerts and alarms are going to be set to a corn population. So when you go from corn to beans, you make that change in your field setup, change it to soybeans, then go into your alerts tab and make sure you adjust those settings back to a soybean population. If you go back to corn at a later date, it'll revert those back to the corn settings that you had previously. If you go back to soybeans again, it'll change them. But that initial setup, you want to make sure that those alerts are set correctly. Good rule of thumb, soybeans, we set the seeds to average to 1,500. Corn, 300 seeds to average. Those are that's the big numbers to set up there. So change your crop in the field setup. Go to alerts, set your alerts correctly. Then go to seeds per disk. To get that, you've got to go into systems. Go to your V-Drive module hardware. Click through to the very last. There is a seeds disk. Select that, change it there, and make sure you apply that to all rows.
That's on the far right of that last page. It'll Correct. Say your seeds per disk. And then when you select a different
seeds per disk,
different seeds per disk, it'll pop up with all the rows that have a V-Drive on it for that system.
Correct.
And then just hit select all if that's what we're doing, and then done. So
yep. And if you're running a skip row system, like let's say you're running soybeans, let's say you're going from let's say you're planting on corn rows of a 1631. Go ahead and apply that to all rows, even though you're not planning on those bean rows. Don't try and go through and select it. Just hit select all. Even if you're not active rows, that's fine.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and let it think that it's a soybean or it's got corn disks across the whole system. The one thing on there is that your active rows then, that is done in the equipment profile setup. You don't change the physical number of rows. The total number of rows is 31 or whatever it is, but your equipment, your active rows, is changing your equipment profile. So that's underneath the equipment planner, active rows, select that change. That'll cascade down to all the hardware devices below that will turn those rows off. That is the best place to put that, is to go in and change it there in the equipment. Do not change anything in the hardware setups.
Okay. And this is my time to sound like a broken record.
Yes.
Once you get those two configurations, or you change over and you get that configuration, save that configuration.
Save the configuration.
So you don't have to go through all that again.
Yep. It's an easy, then you can save and load your equipment profiles between corn and soybeans.
Yep.
Name one corn, name one soybeans. And I'll just a rule of thumb, same thing we talked about with production version or Gen 2, Gen, all the other softwares. Set one up for, if you got specialty crops, do one for each crop. So that's a corn crop, that's a soybean crop, that's a seed corn, that's a seed corn male, seed corn female, skip row cotton. All of those are our options. I set those up for the system.
Yep. Utilize that custom naming that you can do.
Correct. Yep.
All right. We'll keep moving. I think we only have one more point really for dot one. Frame mounted lift switches.
Yeah. Make sure you're doing the calibration. This is a pretty easy one to get overlooked. There is a calibration for that whisker switch specifically. Rotary height sensor, you're going to have that range between those two. Go do those calibrations. And make sure, otherwise it likely will not pick up correctly. We've had a couple of calls on that already. The one thing I will call out on this, on a whisker switch type of calibration, if it returns a value of 0 and 100 for your, so your zero lifted lower percent's a 0 and your lift is 100 or whichever way you have it set up, sometimes that will not trigger correctly. So on that scenario, if you do that, just go in and manually adjust those values. Take your 0% to 5 and take your 100% to 95, and then you have enough room to cross those two thresholds to say lowered or lifted.
Yeah, because we really don't get a range with whisker switches.
Correct. It's on or off.
It's on off.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Hans, anything else I'm forgetting?
I don't think so. That's all that's on my list.
Okay. Well, as always, thank you guys for tuning in, and if you're seeing anything in field that you would like to, give us a shout out and say, hey, I'm seeing a lot of this. Maybe other guys that maybe haven't started yet or just they haven't come across it yet, this is what we're seeing. Please feel free to shoot us an email at smartereveryseason@precisionplanting.com. All right. Until next week, guys.